Matthew in chapter 6, we're going to be looking at 1 through 4. We're going to read that, and then we're going to get back into the topic of giving. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And the King James renders it openly. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for this opportunity to minister. Lord, as we look at giving this morning, tithing and offering tonight, Lord, as we look at this topic of giving with an open hand and an open heart, Lord, I pray that it would be spurred on from a love that you've shown to us, an encounter that we've had with you. Lord, that we would be able to give truly from a heart that's full of gratitude. Lord, not doing it by duty, because we have to, but Lord, because you love us. I ask, Lord God, this morning that we would be able to take this principle in and apply it to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Christ here in Matthew in chapter 6 is speaking of the secret life. That's what we're going to be looking at the next several weeks. We're going to be looking at prayer and also fasting as well. This morning we are going to be looking at giving. Giving. And I'm going to read you some things that I've wrote down. My thoughts and that are biblical thoughts as well. But my thoughts over this topic, because like I said, there's a lot of people that don't like to teach on it because they're in fear maybe that they may run somebody off, or they're in fear that they're trying to possibly get someone to give. That's, I don't really know why people don't. I've always seen this topic as something that is beautiful, something that if Christ has shown this to us in Matthew in chapter 6, then we should give. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Christ tells us in Matthew in chapter 6, he tells us what? He tells us to keep it secret, doesn't he? Yes, amen. He tells us to keep it secret. It's between us and him. Yes. Last week, we looked at it, a lot of times it's between us and him and others, because it's only natural that when we give, we're giving, and it's to help others. And even in this passage here in Matthew in chapter 6, it was to benefit the poor, was it not? And so we understand that it's between us and him that we're to keep secret. And we have others there that we contend with as well. And it's for us to please the Father, to honor him with. Yes. Giving should be done to our Father, which is in heaven. Plain and simple. And we're going to look at that this morning. We pray before we take up an offering that giving would be to further our Lord's kingdom, don't we?
Yes. Amen.
And so these are principles that we believe, and I'm gonna get into them this morning and kind of dive into them. I'm thankful today that I belong to a local assembly that believes in giving.
Yes.
This is something that I'm truly, truly thankful for. I'm thankful for a church that doesn't hoard money. You say, Brother Matthew, churches hoard money? Yeah, they do. Unfortunately, that's the case. They do. Now, I'm not saying all of them. But what I am telling you is that churches do hoard money and have a tendency to, because they want a safety net, something to fall back on in case attendance gets low, or in case a major giver falls out of the church, or in case they want to build up their own kingdom with buildings and projects and all this and that. But there are churches that do this. When I first came to Grace, I asked for a list of the missionaries that we supported here, and the church gave them to me. That says a lot about your character. It says a lot about who you are. And I'm proud to be part of a church that is a giving church. I don't know who gives what. I don't want to know who gives what. I don't look at your checks. I don't look at your money. I have my face toward the front when you're giving behind me. I don't know who gives and who does not. I mean, through conversations, of course, I know that some give and some give more than others. But as far as an actual figure or whatever that may be, I have no idea. I don't look at your checks and all this. I guess I could be privy to that information, but I don't want to know because I want my heart to be clear on this giving topic. I don't want it to be swayed, and the human heart is very, very deceitful. And so we have to be very careful when it comes to money and when it comes to our finances. This principle of giving, this principle of giving is a principle that we're to carry out by faith just as we pray and just as we fast. You see that in the text mentioned in Matthew chapter 6. It is something that is to be carried out just as we pray and just as we fast. I fully believe, listen to me, I'm going to give you what I believe here. I fully believe in giving the first fruits to the Lord. Fully believe that. I didn't always believe that. But 11 years ago, my mind was changed. I fully believe in giving the first fruits to the Lord. I fully believe that we are to bring our offering to the local assembly for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. I fully believe that. As a general rule, and now to be able to talk about this topic, I know Matthew in chapter 6 tells us to keep things quiet, but to be able to talk about it as a minister, I have to give you example, okay, and even in my own life. And so I want you to know that as a general rule, because we practice what we preach, as a general rule, we give off of the first, whatever increase comes into our home is what we give off of. That's what we do as a general rule. That's our home, and that's what I believe that we should do. Now, I'm not tooting my own horn like the hypocrites here. I'm giving an example. And I fully believe that we are to do that, to give on any increase that comes into our home. And I also believe that if the Lord requires us to give a certain percentage back, if He has shown that to us in Scripture, and even in the Old Testament, if He shows that to us through the Old Testament Scripture, if He requires us to do that, then I believe that the local assembly should do that as well. You say, Brother Matthew, what are you talking about? I believe that the local assembly needs to be, which we are, and I'm thankful for that, but the local assembly needs to be giving back the same percentage if they expect the people to be bringing it in. Would everybody agree with that? So we're not to hoard money in the local assembly, right? And so we're to give back, you know, what we give, and even more when the Lord stimulates us and calls us to do that. It's not right for us to sit on a lot of money. Churches, that's not the point in giving. That's not the point in tithing and in offerings. But churches do that. There are some that say that we are not required to give now because we're in the New Testament. Under grace and not the law. And to that I would say that Christ teaches us in Matthew 6 that we are to give. Everybody following me? If He calls us to pray, if He calls us to fast, what is the difference in Him calling us to give? Well, there's not. And so in the secret life, He calls us to do all three. Doesn't He? And so we are to do that. And this topic of giving, people get very, very passionate on because it's about their money. Isn't it? It's about what we've acquired and what we've done a lot of times. But yet, we need to begin to see it as what the Lord has given to us. And honor Him with that. It's highly debated in the churches today, and like I said, a lot of ministers just stay away from it. This topic has been used by pastors, elders, leaders, and churches for personal gain, hasn't it? It's used for personal gain, and in turn, it has blighted, it has scarred, and it has marred this beautiful principle of piety. It has. The Lord has called us to do these things, and because you have some that, for personal gain, they've just destroyed the image of giving. And you turn on the television and you see that. Certain channels you turn to, you see, and the vast majority of ministers on these programs, they'll preach hard about sowing seeds into their ministry, but yet leave out the grace of God and His mercy or even sin. And y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. But then on the other end of the spectrum, you have those that blight it that way. But on the other end of the spectrum, you have those that refuse to speak on it because they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Amen. There's some preachers that never preach on giving. But I want us to see that there's freedom in biblical giving. There's freedom in giving to the Lord. There's freedom in our finances. Christ has actually called us to do this, and so we should teach on it. Now, a lot of times the only way to teach on it is to do it topically, even though it's all through the Scriptures. I want you to write this down if you got a pen. Because we're fixing to get into some Scripture here in just a second. Giving is a practice of piety that keeps our hands and our hearts open. I want you to write that down. Giving is a practice of piety that keeps our hands and our hearts open so that God's blessings may flow from Him to us, to others. You see my hands open right now? I want you to look at them. They're open, right? If I close my hands, can you give me anything into it? So if I close my hands, you can't give me anything into my hands, can you? And so what I'm telling you this morning is that when it comes to biblical giving, when it comes to giving back to the Lord a certain percentage, a tithe, an offering, a gift, whatever it may be, we have to remember that because it's been given to us, we've had open hands to receive it. We have an open heart to receive it, and we need to be able to give it out. Also, as soon as we begin to hold on to what we have, those blessings can't come into our hands. Do we understand that? Our hands have to be open, our hearts have to be open to be able to receive God's blessing. It's a practice of piety that keeps our hands and our hearts open, and it also keeps us close to Him, doesn't it? When we give to the Lord, it shows us loving Him. Yes. We're investing in that. And we're putting more emphasis on that when we give to Him. And so we have to understand that giving is something that we got to do. Matthew 6 tells us that we are to do that. Yes. This morning, as we look at giving, my intention is to first show that giving is a matter of the heart. That giving is a matter of the heart and always has been a matter of the heart long before the law was ever given. First and foremost, that's what we're going to look at this morning. Giving is a matter of the heart and has always been a matter of the heart long before the law was instituted, long before the law was given. Genesis in chapter 14, turn with me there. One thing about topical preaching is you go through a lot of Scripture. You go from one place to another a lot of times to validate your point. There's nothing wrong with that. We're going to see that this morning in God's Word. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, 17 through 20. If you got a pen, you'll want to mark these verses. This is the first place where a tithe or a tenth is mentioned in Scripture that I could find. We'll have some other examples here in just a moment, but we see where the word tithe or tenth is used here in reference to Abram. In verses 17, 18, 19, and 20, listen to what it says. Then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a representative of the Lord. Now he was a priest of God Most High. King of Salem is king of righteousness, king of peace. In verse 19, listen to what King Melchizedek says. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And then here it switches to Abram and it says, "And he gave him a tenth of all." He gave him a tithe of all. Abram, Abraham, before he was Abram, gave him a tithe or a tenth of all that he possessed to this king Melchizedek. So you see here in Genesis in chapter 14, and I'm going slow because I want you to see that this is biblically based. This is the first place in Scripture where we see this tithe or this tenth mentioned. Go back to Genesis in chapter 4. Listen to what it says in verses 2 through 4. 2 through 4. In reference to Cain and Abel. Listen to what it says. Genesis 2 or 4, 2 through 4. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Doesn't say a firstling, does it? Or a first fruit of the ground. It just says an offering. Listen to what it says in verse 4. And Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. It tells us that Abel brought of the firstlings or the first fruits of his flock to the Lord as a burnt offering, and that the Lord had respect unto him. And so not only do we have a tithe there in Genesis in chapter 14, but here in Genesis in chapter 4, all the way back in the beginning, we have the firstlings mentioned or the first fruits mentioned in Scripture that here we have Abel bringing to the Lord. And both of these examples were given or took place before the law was ever given.
Amen.
Do we understand that? And so people say all the time, well, that was an Old Testament law. Sure it was. But before the law ever came to be, it was a principle of the heart. Listen to what it says. This morning, that a heart of gratitude and thankfulness is linking together, is linking together with biblical giving. I want you to see that this morning. When we see a heart of gratitude and a heart of thankfulness, it is always linked with biblical giving. It always has been and it always will be. Turn to Genesis 28. Genesis in chapter 28. This is the calling of Jacob. Jacob has a dream. You remember Jacob's ladder? You remember Jacob's dream? He has a dream where he sees heaven and a ladder reaching up to it, and that ladder bridges the gap from where? From heaven to earth, right? And there was angels going up and down on that ladder. Listen to what verse 22 says. After Jacob wakes up from his dream, I want you to see this. Before the law was given, I want you to see what Jacob says. After he wakes up, he knew he had been in the presence of the Lord. He knew that the place where he was at was special. And this is what he says. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's, this is verse 22, will be God's house. And of all that thou dost give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee. I will surely give a tithe to thee. And this too, ladies and gentlemen, was before the law was ever instituted. Do we see that? So for us to go back to the law and to say we're not under the law, we can't do that, can we? Because there was giving and there were hearts that were open to giving before the law ever came into being. Just as Abraham believed by faith in the promise that was to come and righteousness was imputed to Abraham before the law was given, Abraham believed in giving to the Lord. And Abraham was blessed because of it. And we have to understand this. Before the law was given, Abraham gave. And when he gave, he was blessed in return. The scripture teaches us that he was a very, very wealthy man. When we begin to view the givers in Scripture, we will begin to see their encounters with God. And when we begin to see their encounters with God, we see a heart that is stimulated, a heart that is awakened to give, a heart that's full of gratitude for the Lord. You look at Jacob, you look at Abel. You look at Abram, all of these men in the Old Testament, when they had encounters with the Lord, one of the first things that they wanted to do was to give back to Him. And these were all before the law ever came to be. Exodus chapter 35 and 36, turn there with me. Exodus chapter 35 and 36, speaking of the law. Moses had went up onto the top of the mountain. This is Exodus chapter 35 and 36. He had went up onto the top of the mountain. He had received the instructions how for the people to worship the Lord. He had received the law. He's coming back down and presenting that to them. Obviously, they came out of Egypt with a lot of gold and silver and wood and all these different things. Well, here it's going to be required of them. But it's not going to be required of them just by command or by decree, but it's going to be required from them, but their hearts are going to be also stimulated to do that. Listen to what it says in Exodus chapter 35 and verse 5. Now this is about bringing in to the priests, to the ones that were set in authority over Israel, so that they may be able to build something for the Lord to house Him. All this gold and silver that they brought out of Egypt was going to be required from them. Listen to what it says in verse 5. This is a command, but I want you to see the heart matter here in this when it comes to the law. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart. Do we see that? Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, so on and so on and so on. Look at verse 10. And let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. Go to 21. Go on down to 21. Talking about the heart. And everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all of its services and for the holy garments. Whose heart stirred and moved him. Y'all see that?
Amen.
22. Then all whose hearts moved. Y'all see that? Then both men and women came and brought brooches and earrings, signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man who had in his possession blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skins dyed red and porpoises' skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver and bronze brought the Lord's contribution. And every man who had in his possession acacia wood for any work of the service brought it, and all the skilled women spun with their hands and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred with a skill spun the goat's hair. And the rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones for setting for the ephod and for the breastplate, and the spice and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. The Israelites, all the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord. Chapter 36, listen to what it says. Beginning in verse 2 through 7, I want you to catch this morning, because it's a matter of the heart. Even when the law was given, it was still a matter of the heart. And giving will always be a matter of the heart. Listen to what it says in Exodus chapter 36, beginning in 2. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to work to perform it. And they received from Moses all the contributions which the sons of Israel had brought to perform the work in the construction of the sanctuary. And they still continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. So a decree was sent out, a command was sent out to collect from the people. The people began to bring, and as they began to bring, they kept bringing it every morning. And all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing, and they said to Moses, "Their people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform." He says the two people that he had appointed over taking these contributions in, they're coming to Moses and they report back to him and they say, "Moses, the people are giving us way more than what we need." Can you imagine for just a moment if the church in the United States of America gave more than what the church needed? Can you imagine the needs that would actually be met? Anybody this morning? Do you see that? The people gave out of a heart that the Lord had stimulated in them. And they gave, and when they gave, there was more than enough. They brought so much that Moses had to send a decree out to tell them to stop giving. To stop giving. Because they had brought so much. Listen to what it says. So Moses issued a command and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, "Let neither man nor woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary." Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more. We have people that don't want to give 10%. I promise you, these folks right here gave a lot more than 10%. Their heart was stirred to give, and when their heart was stirred to give, they gave. And when they gave, Moses had to tell them to stop because it was more than enough. Listen to what it says here in verse 7. "For the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it." Giving, whether it be a tithe or whether it be an offering or both, should be spurred on by a thankful heart. We see that before the law, giving was in place and people were doing it. During the law, giving was in place and people were giving out of a thankful heart, a heart full of gratitude. And I want us to understand that this morning, even when we give to the local assembly, just as we can sing without really worshiping, this is what our study about worshiping and singing has been about, not just coming in and repeating the words. How many people know that we can sing without worshiping? Well, I can sing without worshiping all the time. I can do it all the time. I can do it right now. I can sing these words right now and not be worshiped. Just sing them to sing them. Sing them to hear myself. So just as we're to sing and think about what we're singing and worship the Lord in that, or pray, you know that we can pray without truly praying. Y'all know that? We can pray without truly praying. Can't we? But the Lord tells us to do these things, and when we do them, we're to think about what we're actually doing. We can also give out of duty instead of out of a heart of gratitude, can't we?
Amen.
We come in, the plate's passed around. We know we're supposed to give a certain percentage or what we feel that the Lord has laid on our hearts, and we're just like, oh, whatever. And this morning, just as we're to think about what we sing and just as we're to think about what we pray and how we fast and what's going on during that time, when we give, when we tithe or give gifts, we're to think about what the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
See, this practice of giving is not a new concept. I said that last week. It starts in the beginning of the Bible and it goes all the way through the end. As Christians that practice giving, we're to think about our Lord when we give. Not just to say we're going to put a percentage on it and we're just going to go with that. No. When we begin to think about what the Lord has done for us, I think we'll begin to see that Jesus gave His all for us. We'll begin to see that our Lord gave everything that He had for us. He became the first fruits from the ground. He was the first fruits of His Father. He was perfect and gave Himself up for us. When we begin to think about what Christ has done for us, our acts of piety will go far beyond any standards or any measurements that we place upon them. Way past it. Just as we have learned to sing and to ponder what we sing, we're to give with an eye towards our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
How many people agree with me on that?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. Turn there with me for just a moment. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. Too often when we sing or pray or fast or tithe, whatever it may be, we do it out of duty. And I'm not saying that duty is wrong. I'm not saying, because as good soldiers in Jesus Christ, we are to do things because that's our duty to do. We are to do things. And so, but I want us to see this morning that we're to do this with a thankful heart and a heart that's happy, that's a heart that's full of love. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. If you want to do some back reading on that, you're more than welcome to, beginning of verse 1. But I'm going to jump down here to 6 and 7, talking about collection for the church. Corinth was a wealthy church, and they were setting aside money for other churches. Listen to what it says in verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. This is a truth, is it not?
Amen.
You sow a little, you'll reap little. If I sow one row of greens, I can't expect for five to come up. True? Okay. So now this I say, who who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Tonight, my intention, what we're going to look at is Malachi in chapter 3. We're going to look at Malachi chapter 3. We're going to talk about the blessings. We're going to talk about the curses. We're going to talk about tithes and offerings, how much to give, when to give, what to give. We're going to talk about a lot of these different things, and it's probably going to be an open forum for us to all glean from that and to ask questions. And I won't have this on tonight, but we will be talking about that tonight. Tithes, offerings, the difference between the two, blessings, cursings, all these things that come with biblical giving. And so I want you to come back. I know that there is freedom in biblical giving. There's financial freedom in it. I know that there is. The reason why I know that there is because the scripture teaches us to test the Lord in it, to ask Him about it. I have done those things. By faith, we've done that. And I know, because it's happened in my life, I know that He loves a cheerful giver. I know that He will bless those that give to Him, because He's blessed me in my life. And so as we look at this secret life, I want you to come back tonight. I want you to think about your tithes and think about your offerings, what the Lord has blessed you with. Are you measuring up to par? Are you doing what the Lord has called you to do? Is there an area in this secret life where you could even advance it some and grow it some? And if so, do it. Do it. So this morning, if you can, let's stand.